again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller Podcast for the 19th of September, 2019. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for listening, tuning in, press and play, downloading, sharing, writing and reviewing, and all that good stuff. The word of mouth that you guys give me is invaluable to me, and it's much, much appreciated. If you want to email me, it's Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Compliments, complaints, curse me out, whatever you got, I take all comers. If you also want to enter to win the signed copy of Michelle Malkin's new book, I've decided that I'm going to extend the contest. Just because so many entries are coming in, I'm going to give you until 11 p.m. Thursday. 11 p.m. Thursday to enter. Today, I guess today is Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then I will pick the two winners from there at the end of the interview segment on the show on Friday. It's all very behind-the-scenes baseball crap that you don't need to know, but you get to know it. I'm sitting here, and if you hear anything in the background, my insomniac daughter, the two-year-old, is playing rock star. She's overturning bins with toys and her little plastic chair. As soon as I busted out the microphone going, I got to start recording this show, she comes running up. So, talking, daddy's talking. And she grabbed the microphone and hit record and ran away. So there you go. That's my life in a nutshell. I guess well, there's a ton of stuff to get to. Another blackface scandal on the left. This one north of the border. Good job. You're just like Keith Moon. You're going to be banned from Holiday Inns across the country. We got Justin Trudeau being a nut job. We got California sabotaging the gig economy. You name it, we got a story about it. A liberal activist in the UK complains about socialized medicine, how he's being treated in socialized medicine. That's kind of how it works, dude. CNN announced the lineup for their LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ debate and all sorts of other stuff. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. But first, a word from Ancient Life Oils. Yes, I am a user of CBD oil. I'm a firm believer that when you're healthy, you're happy. That's why I use CBD oil from AncientLifeOil.com. It's a natural remedy made with nothing but the purest ingredients and blended with coconut and hemp oils. I'm telling you, it's a home run for your health. I was a skeptic, but now I see why it's so popular. My eye stress from staring at computer screens is gone. My knees are feeling better, which is no small feat. Neither are my feet, which are size 15. Check it out for yourself. Do some research. Just search CBD oil benefits for yourself, and you'll find out why thousands of people have made CBD oil a regular part of their healthy routine. If you're ready to live your best life, all you got to do is go to AncientLifeOil.com now, the trusted source for the highest quality CBD oil. Ancient, A-N-C-I-E-N-T, LifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Use the promo code Derek at checkout, and you get free shipping. You can't beat the deal. We've got a ton of things to do. I watched that America's Got Talent. I watched it mostly because my dad watches it, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'll see what all the fuss is about. I knew the end was up, and I knew that blind guy was Lee, whatever his first name is, Lee. I can't remember. I'm horrible with names. And he won. Spoiler alert if it's on your DVR, although you're supposed to say spoiler alert before it. But if you watch any of this show, if you didn't think that guy was going to win, you've got really bad judgment. Really, really bad judgment. It was great. Good for him. $1 million. Congratulations to him. He's got severe autism, and he's got he's blind. So, but he talks. He's clearly disabled when he talks. He sings like nobody's business. Just a quick update. Got a lot of audio on the show. Well, a long audio. The brainwashing of America continues. It's a testament to just how screwed up the education system in this country is and how far and how willing so many so-called adults are willing to go to exploit children for their cause. It's child abuse. I've talked about this with Greta Thunberg or whatever her name is. And it doesn't end there. We also have an update on the Kavanaugh situation, just briefly. The two authors were at the National Press Club, and they said that Brett Kavanaugh had agreed to talk to them as long as they didn't write that they'd talk to him. And this was a big scandal. Yes, thank you. It was a big scandal on the Twitter in the liberal, in the liberal journalism sphere. Told you, it's going to happen sometimes. Realistically, though, somebody saying that they'll talk to reporters and then, okay, here you go. Here, have your few minutes of fame. Go ahead.
Say something.
Now.
All right, profound. If I put water in that, it doesn't come out, so I can't put water in that. Go find a cup. What basically happened is Brett Kavanaugh agreed to talk to them off the record. You can still get information off the record. You just can't report on it. You can get leads. You can be given clarification on a lot of points. Yet this is being presented as Brett Kavanaugh is a giant liar. Brett Kavanaugh wanted these people to lie. No, it's standard practice in journalism to speak to people off the record. Don't quote me on this, but I'll give you some heads up. I'll let you know where you're wrong or you're right, and maybe I can point you in a direction to talk to other people who can give you good information. Yet this is how desperate these people are to sell this book. If you look at the rank on Amazon, at least as of last time I checked about an hour ago, it was in the nearing 300. Now, being up at 300 is nothing to sniff at. You're still selling maybe 200 copies a day on Amazon. But to really move a lot of books and make it worth what I imagine two authors for the New York Times were paid in advance for this book, you've got to sell a couple thousand copies per day for an extended period of time. And they originally seem to have the business plan that this will be a bipartisan book, and we can sell across the aisle. We can sell to Republicans and Democrats. We're giving you the inside dope. And I don't know what's in the book, but I know that that plan was all shot to hell with the piece that they launched it with in the New York Times that had to be corrected and completely undercut everything they were trying to say while exposing themselves as left-wing frauds. So now with this latest so-called revelation that Brett Kavanaugh had agreed to talk to them off the record, but they passed because it was off the record, they're proving that, and the way it's marketing and the way that they're putting it, they're proving that they are just going full bore left. They realize conservatives aren't going to buy this book, and they just want liberals to, they want anybody to buy this book. And they figure, well, if it's not going to have crossover appeal, let's go for the hard left. It's a little late because they've already said a whole bunch of places, this is actually a fair book. But this is the modern left. This is journalism. That's why our second sponsor, every day, President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and the fake news allies, like I was just explaining. He's been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for impeachment because they know Congress is their last hope. He needs your support now more than ever. And you can give it to him just a simple way, and you can support this program, too. Take out your cell phone, text DAILY, one word, simple word, daily, DAILY, to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. He runs everything. Man's an enterprising young man. I think he's got a future. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available. You'll be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. That's right. They're looking to get input from you. Again, all you have to do is text DAILY to 88022. While Democrats and the fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source. Always go to the horse's mouth. All you got to do is text DAILY to 88022. Again, make sure to use the word daily, just the word daily, to 88022 today. This is paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again, and Lord knows we could use it. Speaking of greatness, though, before we get into some of the craziness that happened yesterday, real quick story, a feel-good story, if you will. This comes to us from the New York Post. Who knew a plea for Bush Light, which should never, nobody should ever, Bush Light, why don't you just drink toilet water? I mean, honestly. Who knew a plea for Bush Light could turn into a heartwarming story? Among the hundreds of signs on ESPN's College Game Day on Saturday in Ames, Iowa, ahead of the Iowa State-Iowa game, was one from Carson King that read, "Bush Light Supply Needs Replenished," along with his Venmo surname. It's a fundraising website, a website where you can give money. By Tuesday night, King had received more than $20,000 in beer donations from fans. It was enough to buy hundreds, if not thousands, of cases of Bush Light. If you're going by the value of the beer, you could probably buy the company. It's actually up now since this story ran. Last I saw, it was over $43,000. But instead, now you think, well, the college kid is going on a bender, party at Carson's place. No. Instead, King settled for one case and is giving the rest of the money to the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. The hospital is located next to Iowa's Kinnick Stadium, which has started the tradition of the Iowa Wave, when fans wave to kids watching from the hospital windows at the end of every first quarter. So kudos, and there's your feel-good story. Kudos to Carson King. I don't know that I would have been that good of a person when I was in college. That would have been more money. That would have been all of my student loans and then some. But good on Carson King. Gave it all. Well, he bought one case of dude, he could have splurged for some good beer. Nobody would have judged you if you bought a $25 case of beer rather than a $6.95 case of beer or whatever. But kudos to Carson King. So there's your feel-good story. We're getting it out of the way because the rest of it is just ridiculous, the rest of the news. Now that we've got you feeling good, let's make you feel bad and feel anger. You've heard about the abortion doctor in Indiana and Illinois, the one who had almost 2,300 remains of aborted fetuses in his house after he died, Dr. Ehrlich Klopfer. That doesn't sound, suspicious. And if you're making some sort of mid-20th century horror novel about a guy who escaped justice, there's a good name for your villain. Well, he operated a clinic in South Bend, Indiana, which is where Mayor Pete Buttigieg exists. Now, this story's been going on for a week. This has been known for about a week. And Mayor Pete has dutifully avoided the topic. Now, it's kind of funny because Mayor Pete likes to portray himself as Pope Pete. He runs around and talks about religion and says how religious people should be voting for Democrats. It's the moral thing to do. And he's even tried to justify abortion based on religious grounds. You can make a lot of cases for a lot of things on religious grounds, but, and I'm no theologian here, but I don't think abortion is one of them. I just don't think God has a plan for everything. But every once in a while, God makes a mistake and a woman gets pregnant and she should be able to abort that. I don't really think that's in the Bible. Again, been a while since I've read it. I'm not a theologian, but I don't think that's how it goes. I think there are a lot of things that Pete Buttigieg is trying to wrap in morality of the Bible that isn't really in the Bible, and his take on abortion is one of them. Well, after it finally reaching critical mass, now that the two states involved, Illinois and Indiana, their attorneys general are launching a joint investigation and there are calls for the federal government to get involved, Mayor Pete realized that he could be silent no more. So he took off his Pope hat and walked up to the microphones and said something. It's a very short clip. I think it's like 17 or 19 seconds, maybe even less. But it's absolutely hilarious. Hilarious. I'll explain why after you listen to it.
Like everyone, I find that news out of Illinois extremely disturbing, and I think it's important that that be fully investigated. I also hope that it doesn't get caught up in politics at a time when women need access to health care. There's no question that what happened is disturbing, it's unacceptable, and it needs to be
looked into. Needs to be looked into. It's disturbing. It just, somebody needs to look into this. I love how he says, you know, that situation in Illinois. He operated a clinic in your town too, Pete. But he's trying to keep, this is why people hate politicians and why that hatred is justified. And it's not even the hilarious part yet. But he's trying to pretend that there's no connection whatsoever there at all. You know what? He might have gone shopping in Indiana every once in a while, but this was strictly Illinois. No, that's not how it works, Pete. But the hilarious part, aside from his attempted lie by omission, is that he hopes this doesn't get politicized. This disgusting, disturbing situation, I hope this doesn't get politicized because women need access to health care. Abortion isn't health care. And if abortion is health care, then nose jobs are health care. Then liposuction is health care. Then just, you know, hair implants are health care. Because it's elective. It is, I screwed up, and now I want to not deal with the consequences. I want to be immune to the responsibilities for the consequences of my reckless actions. So I don't hope this doesn't get politicized. This is from the guy and the party that every time there's a shooting, before we know anything about anything, they're out there politicized. This is why we need gun control. This is why we have to ban these types of weapons. Well, what if that type of weapon wasn't used? Doesn't matter. We need to ban it anyway. We must do something. Every gun death, except for gun deaths of black men in Chicago and Baltimore, is exploited and politicized by these people. But when a sick freak of nature who is engaged in an activity that Democrats fully support gets caught doing something, even after death, that is disgusting and will, you know, bother people, to say the least, and is likely illegal, and who knows if he's selling body parts or whatever, what this guy was doing, when that comes up, we shouldn't politicize this. Not at all. And that's just beyond the pale that anybody would even try to do such a thing. Pete, find a mirror. Find a puddle. Find any reflective surface and look at your own party. And by the way, Pete, your party and you support abortion up until the moment of birth and after birth. So the idea that you're going to tell us that up until a baby is born, you're 9 months and 2 weeks pregnant and you're being induced and you say, well, you know what, I changed my mind, kill it. And they go, all right, well, we'll just take care of that clump of cells now crowning and solve this problem for you. No problem whatsoever that you're going to. Does anybody really believe that Pete Buttigieg or any Democrat finds this disturbing? They view that, well, the guy just had a fetish for collecting clumps of cells, right? That's all fetuses are to Democrats. They're not babies. They're not sentient feeling creatures. They're just clumps of cells up until the moment they go off to college. So you can abort them at will at any point. That's what they really believe. But when something like this or the Kermit Gosnell situation comes up, they can't just say what they really believe. They can't just go, well, what are you going to do? It's just clumps of cells. Some people collect baseball cards. Other people collect comic books. This guy happened to collect baby parts. And if he happened to buy, sell, and trade them at the local swap meets or wherever these sick people meet, so be it. They can't say that, but that's what they really think. Wilde's, his basic statement right there, it was a week since he bothered to make that. If that's what he thinks, if like this is disturbing and disgusting and we need to find out what happened, I don't want to politicize this, moving on. If that's really all you got to say on it, you could have said that right away. You could have said that right away, but it's not what he really believes. He had to hope that it would blow over. He doesn't want to say anything remotely anti-abortion, anything that could be perceived as slightly pro-life. So that's why I was like, well, it's disturbing. Not going to get into the specifics. I just hope that we don't politicize this, because women need access to boob jobs and tummy tucks and other vital, important health care. I love how they call it reproductive health care. I saw a commercial for the pill today or yesterday, one of the two, where it said a 3-month supply is like $25. If you can't afford that, then you shouldn't be having sex. You're too big of a worthless human being to be having sex if you can't come up, scrape together with a 3-month supply of birth control pill money of $25. You're probably, if you can't afford $25 spread out over 3 months, you likely can't afford to shower. So that just takes it to another level of gross. But I love this idea, because it's just like, you know, a joke that they say in movies and I say on the podcast occasionally. We'll fix it in post, meaning we'll fix it in post-production. We'll go in and we'll clean it up. Or you swore, don't worry, we'll fix that or whatever. Can't fix this in post. That's the Democrats' idea. Oh, you got pregnant? Well, we'll fix it in post. We'll just go ahead and abort that. Don't worry, it's just a clump of cells. But I'm going to take this kidney. I'm going to take this liver. I'm going to take the brain. I'm going to, you know, sell them or keep them or whatever. But if those things are those things from the murdered baby, then what is the whole? You know, that's what I would like to ask these leftists. If you've got all of these parts here and having these parts is disturbing, then Mayor Pete, when you put all those parts together, what is that? Suddenly, once you get the whole thing back together, it's just a clump of cells. But when you take it apart, it's individual pieces. It's actual organs. Have monetary value on a sick black market and for research purposes or whatever. There are a lot of circles here that they can't square, but Mayor Pete is, of course, protected. He's insulated from these types of questions and follow-ups, A, by his group, his paid staff around him. They're not going to subject him to someone who might ask him a question like that. And there really isn't. And who's going to ask him a question like that? Who's going to go out there and ask Mayor Pete these sorts of questions? Not a single accredited member of the press. There might be one or two conservatives who accidentally show up. But that's the thing about these traveling press pools. The big three networks, the cable news networks, the big newspapers, they can afford to send people all over the country to follow these people. The conservative outlets can afford to send people to this event, but not that event, and the next event, but not this one. They can't afford to travel, have people travel with these candidates and go everywhere they go. They don't have the staff for it, and they don't have the money for it. So the chances of Mayor Pete ever being asked a serious question about this and the disconnect between his rhetoric and reality and his rhetoric on other things is slim to none. And Slim just left town. None didn't bother getting out of bed. Didn't need to. Let's go over the pond for a second. I want to try and get through a lot of things today because I feel like I've been doing just a couple of issues and a couple of stories per show, and I want to cram out a bunch of these things. This story comes to us from the UK Daily Mail, which sadly is becoming an unusable website. There are so many freaking ads all over this thing that there's about 3 square inches of readable text on a post, and things pop up and you have to close windows, and there's always a video playing in the bottom right hand corner. If you know anybody who works at the Daily Mail, tell them to pump the brakes a little bit, and because it's the content that gets people there. Turns into a clickhole website. But there was a big confrontation apparently over in the UK between a Labour Party activist and the Prime Minister Boris Johnson. This guy was giving Boris Johnson what for the business. He's a Labour activist. I don't know if he's a Labour Party, but lefty. They write, a Labour activist today told how he gave Boris Johnson a piece of my mind when he bumped into the Prime Minister in the hospital where his sick baby daughter was being treated. Omar Salem accosted the PM at Whip's Cross University Hospital in Northeast London to complain about the care his seven-day-old daughter received after she nearly died. Complaining that there were not enough doctors or nurses, the furious father said, "This ward is not safe for children." He told Mr. Johnson, quote, "There are not enough people in this ward. There are not enough doctors. There's not enough nurses. It's not well organized enough. The National Health Service has been destroyed, and now you come here for a press opportunity." What this labor activist doesn't seem to realize is this is socialized medicine. This is what happens in socialized medicine, Mr. Salem. Welcome to it. It gets continually and exponentially more expensive for the government, so the government begins to ration care. There are only a few places where government can actually save money when they're running the entire healthcare system. They have to ration it, make people wait. Hopefully they get better or they die or whatever they do that doesn't cost the government any money. And they also have to cut what they pay doctors. And when you cut the pay of doctors, guess what happens? Doctors retire. They go, "Well, what the hell? I'm not going to keep doing this." And you know what also happens? People go, "I'm not going to go into medicine because I'm not going to really make all that much money." It's a lot of hassle. Look, people always say, "Oh, they just want to help people." Doctors do want to help people, by and large, not universally, not totally, not completely, but they also want to make a good income and have a good life. I know because I know some doctors. They enjoy the big checks that they get. Well, if the government is running things and they're looking for cost savings, they're not only not going to give you the latest, greatest treatments or drugs or whatever, because those are expensive, they're going to say, "Look, doctors, we're not going to be able to increase your pay. We're going to have to pay you less for this procedure," and so on and so forth. That's how government works. Well, what happens in those situations, Mr. Salem, is you have to wait longer and longer and longer. Same goes for nurses, by the way. Same goes for everybody in the healthcare field. So you've got it. Universal healthcare, socialized medicine. Everybody is treated equally. Isn't it just a wonderful utopia? What they never tell you is that everybody is treated equally, equally badly. You have to wait. You have to wait your turn. You're going to get shoddy care. The state, you essentially are a ward of the state. Therefore, your child is also a ward of the state. And what they don't tell you, as was evidenced by those kids in the last couple of years over in the UK, Charlie, I can't remember his last name, the baby that they allowed to die rather than allowed to go to the United States. Remember that? The kid is like under a year old. The president, Donald Trump, said, "Come on over, send him over. We'll do all we can." The parents were desperate to try and get any kind of treatment, but the government in the UK said, "Yeah, you know what? We're just done treating them." They have a sliding rule. They have a scale over there that weighs what a life is worth. Nobody wants to talk about this, especially when it comes to socialized medicine, but it's true. If you are in your 80s and you are sick, you're not ever going to contribute enough to make up for whatever your healthcare costs are going to be, so you're likely to be denied treatment. Now, it's nefarious the way they do it in a socialized medicine system where the government controls everything, is they don't tell you about the options. They don't say, they ban you, the doctor, from saying, "We could give you this treatment, but it's $150,000, and you'll only live 5 to 7 years with it." Well, I think anybody would go, "Well, do it. What the hell?" But in socialized medicine and single-payer systems, they don't allow them to say, "We could give this to you, but the government won't pay for it, so you can't have it. This exists, but you're screwed, so get ready to die." The same sort of logic applies to children, to babies. Now, this baby seems to be doing much better, and that's good. But if it's a sick baby that has a terminal but treatable ailment or a life-threatening ailment that is incredibly expensive and there are all sorts of complications, after a while they go, "Look, it's just not working out." So you've got to get used to the idea that we're not going to pay for this anymore, that it's just meant to be that your child die, which would terrify any parent. They generally in the UK keep these stories kind of quiet, but they happen regularly. They happen all the time. Here in the United States, you hear the stories occasionally of some bureaucrat in an insurance company denied treatment for this or that, and the public pressure comes in, and generally someone steps up and says, okay, we'll help you out, or whatever. It gets taken care of. We are a very generous people, the most generous people on the planet, as a matter of fact, because we don't look to government, at least not yet, to take care of all of our problems. Over in the UK and most of Europe, they do look for the government to take care of their problems and their lives in general. So there is no groundswell of we'll pick up the tab. There isn't. And government isn't going to waive it. Government is a faceless bureaucracy that doesn't really give a damn about any individual person. So if you want socialized medicine, Omar Salem, you've got it. Congratulations. You're a labor activist. Good for you. You got your dream. It just came back to bite you in the ass. I'm glad your daughter's doing better. I hope your daughter thrives. I hope this also opens your eyes. Complaining to the Prime Minister isn't going to change anything. There's a reason the wealthy people... There's a reason Mick Jagger had his heart valve replaced in New York and not in London. He could have gotten it for free done in London eventually, and the odds are fairly decent that he would have lived long enough to see that happen. Or he could have come to New York, where he also lives, write a check, or he has insurance, or whatever he does, he's got enough money, he probably just writes a check. And a couple of weeks later, bing, bang, zoom, he's back to touring with the Rolling Stones. See the difference, Mr. Salem? I hope you do. I hope your countrymen do. I doubt they will. So, more importantly, though, I hope my countrymen and women do. I hope people in this country view stories like this not as, my God, the government should do something about that. They should hire more doctors. It's not like there's a big waiting room of doctors somewhere in London where they're just going, I wish I had some work. The doctors don't exist. The doctors actually come to this country because you can actually make money. That's why we have the best healthcare system in the world. We have not only the freedom to innovate and the ability to bring those innovations to market much faster because you're not dealing with one government entity that only looks at the immediate outlays. Insurance companies do as well, but they also look at the long-term costs. If a treatment costs $100,000 to cure, but $10,000 a year to treat and keep at bay, you think government goes, well, we're not spending $100,000. We'll spend $10,000. Well, once you get past the 10-year mark, you've spent more than $100,000, and there's always inflation. So probably at year seven, you've spent more than $100,000. Whereas insurance companies and private companies in general will look at the long-term horizon and say, you know what, it makes more sense to lay out the $100,000 now because we're going to save that $10,000 a year for the rest of this person's life. Doesn't matter to a government bureaucrat. They've got numbers. They've got computer programs. They've got orders. They never see you. They don't care. You probably will never get the person who makes a decision about your life and death on the phone. You'll be given the runaround. You'll die while trying to find that person. And there never is just one person. It's always just the system. So be wary of that as these Democrats try and sell you utopia through socialized Medicare for all. It's going to be wonderful. Everybody will get everything and it will all be free. Now just get in line. You know, bread was free in the Soviet Union. They had long lines and you had to wait your turn to get some. And maybe you did, maybe you didn't. If you didn't one day, you just come back the next. You maybe got to get up a little bit earlier and get back in line. Free market economies, the freer they are, they don't have that problem. It's just the same as it is in business, as it is in healthcare. Hope people, hope voters wake up to this fact. Democrats won't, but I hope the rest of the electorate does, because it's coming no matter what. All right, let's talk about the cult, the climate cult. Good Lord, we have some audio that you're not going to believe, and it's going to scare the hell out of you. They talked about the climate strike tomorrow, where millions of school kids are going to be skipping school, allegedly, around the world to protest the climate. Well, they brought it to Capitol Hill yesterday, and we have the audio. But first, I want to tell you about DoorDash. That's right. Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck in the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurant come to you with DoorDash. I use it all the time. I really do. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurant in your city. Ordering is easy. Open up the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, there are more than 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities around the world, across the country, so you might find a new favorite too. You can sort by what type of food you want too. So if you got a hankering, you don't have to go out and try something. You can come right to your house. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. We've ordered from Cheesecake Factory a lot. The other places, if I mentioned them, you wouldn't know where they are because they're local, but that's just the thing. You find your local restaurants, too. Don't worry about dinner. Let it come to you. And right now, for this listeners of this show, this podcast, you get $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code CALLER. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the promo code CALLER. Don't forget, that's promo code CALLER for $5 off. That's like me giving you $5. If I gave you $5, you wouldn't go, I don't want this. Get this dirty $5 out of my way. Stop buying part of your dinner this weekend. Just enter promo code CALLER. Download the DoorDash app. If you got $5 laying around, you're like, I don't need to save $5. Mail me your $5. I will happily take your $5. DoorDash app. Get it on your phone or your iPad or your Android device, and then enter promo code CALLER after you download it. You get $5 off your first order. You can't beat it. Treat yourself this weekend. Okay, let's talk about the doomsday cult that is climate change. It really is now a religion. It just is a full-blown religion. The House of Representatives dragged some kids up to Capitol Hill. Why? Because they're pathetic and they will exploit anybody and everything for any possible reason whatsoever as long as it advances their agenda. There's a oh, yeah, this was kind of funny. You may have seen this story or seen this picture. The Union Seminary, they bill themselves, quote, where faith and scholarship meet to reimagine the work of justice. It's a left-wing organization. They had an event where people in a chapel, again, it's a religion, remember. They write, today in chapel, we confessed to plants. Yes, plants, not spies within their organization placed there by the FBI. The FBI is too busy still investigating the Trump campaign, probably. But actual physical potted plants. And there's a picture of a hippie chick sitting in a yoga pose with a microphone facing plants with a crowd of dudes who have never and likely will never kiss a girl looking on. They write, today in chapel we confessed to plants. Together we held our grief, joy, regret, hope, guilt, and sorrow in prayer, offering them to the beings who sustain us, but whose gifts we too often fail to honor. Then they ask the question, what would you like to confess to the plants in your life? What would I like to confess? If you're Harvey Weinstein's ficus plant, you got a lot to confess. Good Lord. These people are insane. But it's not a cult, remember. It's the Party of Science that believes all of this crap. And the Party of Science held a hearing up on Capitol Hill because Greta Thunbergler was in town. And she's going to go back to New York. I wonder if she's walking. Probably not. She's probably building her carbon footprint. It was in town, so they paraded the Asperger's sufferer 16-year-old who hates public speaking up to practice to testify on C-SPAN. Well, they had a bunch of Americans up there, too. And this one that I want to play you, it's a long clip. It's almost 6 minutes long, but I want you to hear the whole thing because it's important that you learn and understand the extent to which these kids are being brainwashed by the liberal media and, more importantly, by the education system in this country, the public education system. I got an email from a guy whose wife is an athletic director, and he made a good point that, you know, having the climate strike for justice or whatever the hell it's for Friday, for a 3-day weekend on Friday, might not be good because high school football season is going. And if you don't go to school that day, you can't participate. So the players and the cheerleaders and the fans and everything, they're not going to be skipping school to do that. And that's a valid point in lots of parts of the country where it isn't completely infested with left-wing radicals in the administration. Unfortunately, there are many left-wing radicals infested in the administrations of school districts across the country. And they will, if they have that policy, they will waive it. That's the magic of being the administrator, the superintendent, the principal, the whatever. You can just say, you can pretend like you're a mayor of a liberal city and go, those laws, just ignore those laws. You go ahead. It's more important that your voice be heard and you exercise your First Amendment right. No, you're supposed to be consequences for actions. And again, liberals live to absolve people of the consequences for their actions. Then they begin to look to government to approve of them, to absolve them, to provide for them after that. Once you get in people's heads that good things come from government, then you've got them. You got them hooked. Well, there's a girl, 17-year-old high school senior out of, I think, Washington State. Her name is Jamie Margolin. Margolin, M-A-R-G-O-L-I-N. And her opening statement to Congress yesterday is something to behold. She is, I believe every word she's saying. I believe she believes every word she's saying. Let me put it that way. I believe she's absolutely, completely sincere in what she's saying. I believe she's terrified. I believe she is wondering what the point of it all is. That the world is going to end and human beings are going to be dead in about a decade. And what is the point of it? And why don't you, members of Congress, save us from weather? That's the gist of it. There's no point in having children. She doesn't really fully understand the point of getting an education. She should be applying for colleges. It's her senior year. She should be focusing on her schoolwork. But thanks to liberal indoctrination, she is in Washington, D.C., ready to protest tomorrow out in front of the United Nations to draw attention to an issue she firmly believes, because she has been told repeatedly by adults in positions that are supposed to be trustworthy, that the whole world is about to come to an end if we don't basically rid the country and the world of capitalism and cede all of our liberty and our earnings to the government. That's not an exaggeration. I want to play this for you. Again, this is Jamie Margolin. It's her opening statement. The only reason I'm playing the whole thing rather than just little tidbits is so you can judge for yourself how sincere she is, and you can hear for yourself how deeply ingrained. Now, she's just one of tens of thousands of students, hundreds of thousands of students, millions of students maybe, who believe this crap. And she is, being 17 years old, she's probably only been subjected to it for the last 6-7 years. There are children in school today who, for the entirety of their public education, K through 12, and if Democrats have their way, they'll get them at pre-K, starting at 2 or 3 years old, and all the way through college, who will be inundated with this crap in every aspect of their lives, not just, you know, in science class. It will be talked about in English class. It will be framed in history class. You name the course, and if you got a liberal in there, they will hammer this stuff home in them. Now imagine if after just 6 or 7 years of this indoctrination, somebody buys it this heartily. what chance does somebody who has been inundated with it essentially since birth have? So you pay attention to how sincere and how afraid and how genuinely buying into this that Jamie Margolin is.
My name is Jamie Margolin, and I'm a 17-year-old climate justice activist from Seattle, Washington. I'm missing a lot of school to be here. It's my senior year of high school. I have college application deadlines looming over me, and to be honest, I've barely even started because I'm too busy fighting to make sure that I'm actually going to have the future I'm applying to study for. You're here spending a few moments with me, but that is nothing compared to the hours that members of Congress have spent with lobbyists from corporations that make billions of dollars off of the destruction of my generation's future. I want the entirety of Congress, in fact, the whole U.S. government, to remember the fear and despair that my generation lives with every day, and I want you to hold on to it. How do I even begin to convey to you what it feels like to know that within my lifetime, the destruction that we have already seen from the climate crisis will only get worse? What adds insult to injury is the fact that we keep getting promised what isn't there. On college applications, I keep getting asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? The media, pop culture, businesses, and the whole world tells me that I and my whole generation will have something to look forward to that we just don't. You're promising me lies. Everyone who will walk up to me after this testimony saying that I have such a bright future ahead of me will be lying to my face. It doesn't matter how talented we are. It doesn't matter how much work we put in, how many dreams we have. The reality is, my generation has been committed to a planet that is collapsing. The fact that you are staring at a panel of young people testifying before you today, pleading for a livable Earth, should not fill you with pride. It should fill you with shame. Youth climate activism should not have to exist. We are exhausted because we have tried everything. We've built organizations, organized marches, and worked on political campaigns. I sued my state government in a lawsuit called Piper versus the State of Washington, along with 12 other plaintiffs, for contributing to the climate crisis and denying my generation's constitutional rights to life, liberty, and property. The lawsuit is also arguing that the natural resources of my state are protected as a right under the Washington State Constitution. The shellfish, salmon, orcas, and all of the beautiful wildlife of my Pacific Northwest home is dying due to ocean acidification caused by the climate crisis, and communities all over Seattle are suffering from the new fossil fuel infrastructure being built to lock in decades more of climate destruction into my state. My friends and I were warned to stay inside the last two summers because our city was shrouded in a suffocating smoke from wildfires. It gave me such bad headaches for so long, and my friends with respiratory illnesses had to go to the ER. Is this the future that we have to look forward to? Well, we the youth are working as hard as we can to make sure that it isn't. On July 21st of 2018, after an entire year of nonstop organizing, despite being full-time high school students with a lot of homework to do, my organization, Zero Hour, marched on Washington, D.C. in a pouring rainstorm and in 25 cities around the world, demanding urgent climate action from you and all of our leaders. And that was only the beginning. But by 2030, we will know if we have created the political climate that will have allowed us to salvage life on Earth, or if we acted too late. By then, we must be well on the path to climate recovery, but this must start today. In fact, it should have started yesterday. By 2030, I will be old enough to run for Congress and be seated right where you guys are sitting right now. By then, we need to have already achieved net zero greenhouse gas emissions and be rapidly on the path to climate recovery. I can't wait until I'm sitting in your seats to change the climate crisis. You have to use the seats that you have now, because by the time I get there, it's going to be way too late. The good news is that experts agree that there are multiple pathways to decarbonize the United States energy system, and that doing so is both technologically and economically viable and beneficial. The most frustrating thing is that the U.S. government can't even begin to imagine the massive political shift that has to happen in order for us to solve this issue. The politics just hasn't been invented yet. Solving the climate crisis goes against everything that our country was unfortunately built on: colonialism, slavery, and natural resource extraction. This is why the youth are calling for a new era altogether. As Greta mentioned, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report that we only have a few months left in order to create the massive political shift needed to transition our world to an entirely renewable energy economy. This needs to happen within the next 10 years, which is our deadline to save life as we know it. People call my generation Generation Z as if we are the last generation, but we are not. We are refusing to be the last letter in the alphabet. I am here before the whole country today announcing that we are instead Generation GND, the generation of the Green New Deal. The only thing that will save us is a whole new era. The Green New Deal is not just about the specific plans laid out in resolutions. It's about a new chapter in American history and transforming our culture into one that celebrates, encourages, and enables radical climate action. It is right here, testifying before you, that I am proud to announce that history is being made. You've heard of the Reagan era, the New Deal era. Well, the youth are bringing about the era of the Green New Deal.
Horrifying, isn't it? This is the future of America. These are the people, these are going to be the people who decide what you get to eat, what you are allowed to drive, how you're allowed to heat your home, what temperature you're allowed to keep your home at in the summer or the winter. Every aspect of your life, they are going to determine it. And they're starting young. They're hooking them young. She truly believes that the world is coming to an end unless the United States is net zero carbon. Forget the fact that anything we've done, and we, by the way, have decreased our CO2 output more than any other country on the face of the earth dramatically. We're down to like levels from 30 years ago. The problem is China. The problem is China. It's weird. We have a free country and we're not doing enough, even though we've done more than everybody. There's no criticism, similarly, of the unfree countries of the world that haven't done jack crap about this myth. If you just believe it, that would be a good place to start. But they don't want to start there. They really believe, and you heard it there, the founding of this country is the real problem. Natural resources extraction, slavery, this, that, and the other thing. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with climate, the things that they're drilling into people's heads, but they've tied it all together into this giant rubric of climate change. All bad weather is due to climate change. All good weather is just weather, and you shouldn't pay attention to it. And this girl is the leader of a movement. She probably will end up in Congress someday. Why not? Democrats have elected crazier people. They're sitting up there on the panel right there, watching this girl, listening to it. Not one adult said, you know, look, you need to calm down. Things are not that bad. You need to have fun. You need to take care of yourself and take care of what you need to get done. You need to make sure that you finish strong in high school and get into college and go on. And you keep fighting this fight if that's what you want to do. But my God, live a little. This girl's whole life is about this, just like Greta's life, just like all these little indoctrinated, brainwashed activists are. They've been robbed of their childhood in the name of the progressive agenda, and the progressives just sit there and go, yeah, good, good. More soldiers, more grist for the mill. Let's grind them up. Let's get them going. What's noticeable, and by the way, I expect that the planned strike across the country will be huge tomorrow because, and it, even if it weren't, they'll go to New York is where it will be huge. You'll see most of the footage from New York because all the school kids have been given permission to skip school with no repercussions whatsoever. They just go ahead and have fun, party, because they want the head count. Because they know in New York, that is where the national newscasts will get their footage from it, and they will then distribute it to all of the local channels around the television, so they will show that footage. Oh, they might, if they had a rally in their hometown, they might show some footage from there, but it'll also include in New York. And even on the streets of Cincinnati today, children took to the streets, and it'll be shots from New York because the crowd will be huge. The anchors are on board. They want to scare the hell out of people. They want the liberal progressive agenda. And it's all, by the way, about the future. That's the thing about this. Science isn't about what's going to happen next. Those are guesses. Those are best guesses. The reality is that they have no freaking idea. The Competitive Enterprise Institute did the Lord's work. They put together a post on their blog, Myron Ebell and Steve Malloy. I know Myron. He's a smart guy, brilliant guy. And they put together a post at CEI.org. The headline, Wrong Again, 50 Years of Failed Eco-Apocalyptic Predictions. And it literally is just post after post of news, in quote, stories about how all the world is going to die in the next few years, dating back to 1967. Salt Lake City Tribune, 1967, November 17th, dire famine forecast by 76. Huh? What? 1976, we managed to survive that. Los Angeles, it's already too late for the world to avoid a long period of famine, a Stanford University biologist said Thursday. Paul Ehrlich, the population bomb guy, said the, quote, time of famines is upon us, and it will be its worst and most disastrous by 1975. He said the population of the United States is already too big that birth control may have to be accomplished by making it involuntary and putting sterilization agents into staple foods and drinking water, and that the Roman Catholic Church should be pressured into going along with routine measures of population control. Back in 1967, we were all going to be dead by 1975. It just continues. And Ehrlich, by the way, is quoted all over the place. And he's still considered a reputable person. Let's see. We'll go to 1974, the UK Guardian, January 29th. Space satellites show new ice age coming fast. What? New ice age coming fast? That can't be. 1975, Time Magazine, another ice age, question mark? 1974, Time Magazine, great peril to life. Gas pairs away Earth's ozone. Remember, the ozone was going to kill us all. Acid rain was going to kill us all. From the New York Times Book Review, July 18th, 1980, from the Noblesville Ledger, Noblesville, Indiana. Headline, acid rain kills life in lakes. Acid rain kills life in lakes. Acid rain. You don't hear about acid rain anymore. You don't hear about the hole in the ozone layer anymore. They've all just bundled everything together in the idea of climate change. The Maldives, 1988. The Canberra Times, Monday, September 26, 1988. Maldives Islands, a gradual rise in average sea level is threatening to completely cover the Indian Ocean nation of 1,196 small islands within the next 30 years, according to authorities. But the end of the Maldives and its 200,000 people could come sooner if drinking water supplies dry up by 1992, as predicted. That didn't really work out. Oops. 50 years worth of this crap, all compiled in one blog post about the coming end of civilization and human existence, all because of human existence, and it didn't come to pass. Yet now these people are sending 16 and 17 year olds up to Congress to keep selling the same thing. It's as if the wizard, after Toto pulled back the curtain, still kept the wizard business open. He stayed in Oz. He didn't get in that balloon. He just said, all right, I'm going to pull this curtain back and we're going back to business as usual. I'm the big glowing head and the smoke machine and the billowing voice, not the short balding dude behind the curtain. Don't worry about that guy. It's insanity. It is indoctrination. It is a cult. It is the biggest fraud, perhaps, ever perpetrated on humanity. And it has the blessing, the encouragement, and the cooperation of the political left in this country. It's insane. It's nuts. So keep an eye out tomorrow. And if your kids are going to school, make sure they go to school. Unless you want to give them permission to go and protest or participate or whatever, make sure they stay in school, because I suspect the school administrators will be urging them to do other things, urging them to go perhaps against your wisdom and knowledge. Speaking of wisdom and knowledge, or lack thereof, should we do Trudeau or should we do CNN? Let's do CNN first. TheHill.com has this story. CNN announces details for LGBTQ town hall. They just divide and divide and divide people. CNN on Wednesday announced the details for a town hall for Democratic presidential candidates focused on LGBTQ issues. 9 Democratic White House hopefuls will attend the town hall in Los Angeles on October 10th, coinciding with the 31st anniversary of the National Coming Out Day on October 11th, CNN wrote in a news release. I think if Beto is Beto is one of these people. I bet Beto comes out, not because he's gay, but because he just likes to pander. Now, this is where it gets disturbing. During the 4.5-hour event, candidates, 4.5 hours, at least they're not doing 7 hours. During the 4.5-hour event, candidates will appear back to back in half-hour interviews in which they will take questions from a CNN moderator as well as the audience, the news release said. It's going to be Biden, Warren, Harris, Buttigieg, Booker, O'Rourke, Klobuchar, Castro, and Tom Steyer. Bernie Sanders and Andrew Yang both declined to participate, said they had scheduling conflicts, according to CNN. The LGBTQ town hall comes after the third round of Democratic primary debates, with the most recent round taking place last week. ABC News and Univision moderators who hosted the debate came under fire for failing to bring up LGBTQ rights during the showdown, which hosted 10 candidates in Houston. LGBTQ advocacy organization GLAAD will host its own presidential forum centered on LGBTQ-specific issues in Iowa on September 20th. LGBTQ, I can see why Dave Chappelle calls them the alphabet people. What are the issues? Where is it that gay people have it so hard, have it so bad? This Christian baker wouldn't bake me a cake as fast as they can. So what? Go someplace else. Be an adult. Give it a shot. What have you got to lose? Swear to God, don't look to government to solve your problems. And for God's sake, stop. This goes for everybody. Stop looking externally for somebody to justify your existence, for somebody else's approval, the mystical father or mother figure, whatever you're lacking in your life. Stop looking for other people and demanding validation from other people. You're never going to find it. Nobody cares what you do. We don't care. We don't want to stop you from doing it. We're not going to applaud you for doing it. I don't want to subsidize it. Do whatever the hell you want to do and live your life. Be happy. You get one life. Make the best of it. But to then sit there and say, well, I deserve special treatment. I must be treated differently. What about my issues? What are your issues? Well, I care about the economy. Is there a gay economy? I care about national security. Is there gay national security? Like, honestly, this drives me nuts about all these websites. It's the Hispanic news site. Even Fox News has Fox News Latino. It's not just the left. It's the pander monster that everybody thinks, oh, well, we can just subdivide people. Everybody's being divided. Let's all pretend that there's somehow, let's go to the root or to the black voices on NBC News. There's different news for people based on their race. What was the score of the base? Who won the Super Bowl in these other news universes? Who's president? Who's the Speaker of the House there? What's Iran doing on the black news websites? What's happening over at Fox News Latino when it comes to the stock market and the economy? News is news. And this is insane. There was a time when this would have been called racist, mostly because it's racist. Yet now it's considered very progressive and woke and a wonderful thing, and let's all celebrate diversity. We're not celebrating diversity. We're dividing ourselves. I don't know why I'm the only person who sees this. This will not end well. This is stupid, and Democrats are evil for doing it and perpetuating it. Finally, speaking of liberals and crazy lunatic leftists, north of the border, I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this story, even though people think it's a big deal. It's just the prime ministership of Canada. No offense to the people in Canada. Your election's coming up in a few weeks, and maybe you'll toss this guy out, but I don't think that this stuff plays as well as it does here in the United States. for or against leftists in this case. But Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, turns out that he wore brown face back in 2001. He was a 29-year-old teacher at a private school, and there's a picture of him. They had a Arabian Nights themed party, and there he is. He's got the turban on, he's got the whole shebang on. He even painted his hands and his neck to seem like a Middle Eastern guy. They're calling it brown face rather than black face because, well, he's not pretending to be a black guy, and he's a liberal, so they wanted to sugarcoat it. But then later on in the night, it came out that there were pictures from his yearbook when he was in high school back in the 80s, I think it was, where he was in blackface. So he's got a long storied history. He said something along the lines of that he has an unhealthy love of dressing up in costumes. So I don't know if that means he's a furry or what, but if this were a Democrat in the United States, this would be a devastating story for about 22 minutes, and then it would go on. I mean, hell, Ralph Northam is still governor of Virginia. It was a choice between, are you the guy in the blackface or are you the guy in the Klan outfit? And he goes, I don't know. Either one. Doesn't matter. I'm not resigning. And the rest of the Democrats in the country said, fair enough. Moving on. So in Canada, I'm sure it's less sensitive. They also don't have the hammering constantly of the left about slavery. I don't think Canada ever had slavery, so it's not a horribly racist country. They just have to deal with the Quebecois, the French Canadians, which in many ways is worse. If you ever talk to a Canadian about the French Canadians, much, much worse. Anyway, I just find that funny because he's Mr. Woke Progressive. And he's a total fraud. They're all total frauds. He's sort of apologizing, but who cares? If you're really sorry for something, you wouldn't have had to have waited for it to come out. You wouldn't have lived in fear that it might come out. You would have said, hey, by the way, I did this. It was stupid. Moving on. But honest to God, I don't get it. If you dress up if you absolutely love... God, the only example I can think of is the one Adam Carolla gives constantly. When he was in high school, he dressed up as Mr. T because he loved Mr. T. Like, if you're actually doing an homage and not doing a mammy show, I don't really see what the problem is. I don't care about race. I think people need to get over themselves. But again, the left has so fetishized victimhood that people seek it out. They seek it out. You get elevated status in the media these days if you can paint yourself as a victim. Anyway, speaking of the media, don't forget to sign up for the Trump tweets. Just text DAILY to 88022. Annoy the fake news media. Get the information. Get the straight dope from the president himself. You know when the new merchandise is out. You'll be able to... They'll ask you questions. You'll take part in surveys. You'll help formulate a strategy for the 2020 campaign just by texting DAILY to 88022. Democrats and the fake news are constantly indoctrinating everybody, as evidenced by today's show. This is your antidote to all the witch hunts. President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting the news directly from the source. Text DAILY. That gives us credit. Lets them know that they should keep advertising here. At 88022, DAILY, 88200, or 88022. 88022. Text the word DAILY. This is a message is paid for by Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized and funded by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. In about a month, we'll find out whether or not Canada wants to be great again. They haven't won a Stanley Cup in forever, I don't think. So that would be a good place to start. But the liberal hypocrites, they're even north of the border. All righty. You can email me, Derek at dailycaller.com, if you want to be entered to win the signed Michelle Malkin books. Just let me know that way. The cutoff time is 11 p.m. I think I said 11. Well, it's 11 now. 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, Thursday, the 19th of September. Because I will be drawing and announcing the winner on Friday's show. At the end of Friday's show, after the the interview. I'm going to interview my friend Liz about vaping, which is what the government, what both parties are doing about vaping is nuts and dangerous. We'll explain it all tomorrow. It's almost Friday, ladies and gentlemen. You can smell it. I'll see you tomorrow.
I want the entirety of Congress, in fact, the whole U.S. government, to remember the fear and despair that my generation lives with every day, and I want you to hold on to it.